Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 19th, 2021. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 45, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Pam M. reading the 12 Steps, Joanne L. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Christina J., Julie E. B., and Sherry K. B. Our newcomer greeter today, after we study the text, will be Betsy H. Announcements will be given by Shelley E., and Nadia B. is monitoring the meeting for us. The share ID numbers for the prior two meetings, yesterday, Thursday, March 18th, 10 a.m. meeting, the reference code is 17608 or 17608. And this morning's March 19th, 7th a.m. East Coast meeting, the code is 16614 or 16614. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, our fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our abstinence and the practice, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam M. And Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Team Friday. Kathy, thank you for your service. And I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 45, the first full paragraph. And I will ask Christina J. to get us started. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Glad to be on the line this morning. The meetings have been powerful so far. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how will we define this power? Yeah, so up until this point in the book, we've had lots of information about finding a higher power or something bigger than us that will help us recreate our lives without the dependency on food, a psychic change, a spiritual experience. And here we are again reading that this power had to be a power greater than ourselves. And it's in italics, which according to the history means ding, ding, ding. Pay attention, because it's a very important point they're trying to get across. Then they follow that line with the word obviously, because at this point in the book, with all we have read, it's obvious that something has to help us, and the book has been hinting and blatantly suggesting that up until now that this something is something greater than ourselves. And so this greater than ourselves thing, you know, I like the plural of ourselves. It indicates to me that there's a lot more than one self running my show, my little selves of self-deception, my self-centeredness, my selfish self, my fearful self, my egotistical self, lonely, jealous self, insecure self, judgmental self, my resentful, angry self. These are all sad and sick selves that have been running my life, and they have been very uncomfortable to live with, and they never gave me any psychic change or spiritual awakening. I do have a good moral character within me, yet how could I have that good moral character, how could I have that good moral character but be riddled with all those damaged, hurt selves acting out all the time? The truth is, deep inside of myself, that acting out made me feel so awful, anxious, and uncomfortable most of the time, and I didn't really know why. I discovered early on that food conveniently put a silencer on top of those voices so I could feel a sense of relief from me and the surrounding insanity of my life, an ease and comfort, a numbing, driven to pick up, to numb the voices, to tamp down the uncomfortable feelings, the crawling sensation in my soul and my physiology as I paced around trying not to give in, that itchiness that we all know would drive a sane person mad, until I could once again chomp into one of my favorite crappy sugar foods, which led to more and more, and then to the dark pit of hell. And I did this over and over and over. God help me. And he did. Struggling in these vision meetings since 2014, thinking that every time I found abstinence and thought I was on the good road to staying recovered, I had not surrendered to the higher power that was right there with me the entire time. That's what I figured out. That was key for me. I finally connected with that power. If we have a higher power, this book outlines a program of action that helps us surrender to this power and can connect in a way we never have. If we don't have a higher power, it helps us find one and connect. All the stories in this book and the meetings around the world constantly testify that we can indeed find this power and that it truly helps us live a life without food, a life that's honest, raw, and real, without food tamping us down and numbing us out. We will begin to live and feel and not want to run to the food. Today I can add to those testimonies because 2 days ago I claimed 8 months of recovery. And, you know, I don't know how it all happened. I guess I just did the work outlined in this book. God saw my desperate efforts, and his grace finally came down upon me. If you're out there struggling, please don't let another precious day of your life pass you by. Join us. I'm shocked that I'm on the other side, but I am, and you can be too. Reach out, ask for help, and you will get it. I promise. Love to you all. I pass. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Christina J. Okay, I will now take names of people who would like to share. And I just want to remind you that if you shared in the last 2 days on this line, we ask that you allow others to speak so that they might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today?
Kristen R.
Okay, Kristen R. Julie E.B.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Mary G.
Mary G. I think there was someone else in there I didn't get. Is there someone else?
Did you get Liz T.?
No. Ruth T.? Is that what you said?
Liz.
Oh, Liz T. Sorry, Liz. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with Kristen R., Julie E.B., Jody H., Mary G., and Liz T. Please go ahead, Kristen R. Press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, sorry about that. Can I be heard now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. Grateful to be here this morning. So lack of power is my dilemma. I thought my dilemma was finding the next right diet. I thought my dilemma was just controlling my emotions. I thought my dilemma was
figuring out a way that I can fix, manage, and control the people around me so that they wouldn't disturb me. But the truth is that my dilemma is I need to find a conscious contact, a conscious connection with my higher power in order to be relieved of compulsive eating. I have been in this program for 7 years, and throughout that time, my conscious contact with my higher power has been built. It's had some hardships. There have been times where I've walked away from my higher power, but thankfully my higher power never walked away from me. And I've been able to reconnect with that higher power and be relieved of my food obsession. I'm just so grateful today to be in this program. I'm grateful for all the people that I connect with who lead me back to my higher power. And I'm grateful to be recovered today, just for today. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen R. Julie E. B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E. B. I'm gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And, just such powerful shares because this is the heart of the matter for me. What did it feel like for me to have lack of power? What did it look like? What it looked like for me is that when things would happen in my life, they were acutely painful. Everything that happened, I just felt like life was throwing me around, like I was some kind of sailboat out in the middle of the sea with absolutely no sails. And every wind that would blow, I would just go that direction. And I talk about it as just feeling like, you know, some people have, all my nerves are on the outside. And life was acutely painful for me. And this was an intolerable situation for me. And so my lack of power meant that life was happening to me, that I was constantly reacting to life, and that I thought that if I just managed it, if I kept all the plates in the air and did my best, the more I, quote, tried, the better I would get. And if I would just push my willpower, but like pushing on a door, if you push on a door, you'll notice it goes further away from you. That's what happened in my life. I'd push on that door, and instead of coming close to me every single time, even now that I try and exert my will, things push closer to me. Spiritual friend told me yesterday, these things have a way of working themselves out. They come from a place of deep faith. They weren't preaching to me. They were just saying, you know, sometimes I think you worry about things. They weren't a program friend. They were just sharing that, and it really represents this paragraph, that there would be something in the universe that would be working to align and to do this. So anyway, lack of power was my dilemma, because I thought that I had to play God. The big book says I would try and be still more gracious or still more demanding, but always trying to manipulate life so it would be what I thought it should be according to my script. So then I discovered that the power greater than myself that I had thought I believed in, was agnostic towards, in other words, I had a mental understanding of, that could become a part of my life, that I could claim that. So that there's this place deep inside of me that's just me and my higher power. And I say something I learned from someone on this line, God, I'm yours and I trust you. And there's this part, I don't always feel that trust when I say it, but it's just me and God, and I live life from the inside out. And that's bigger than me. And so then I can be content and at peace inside and not need the food to numb it. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Jody H., please share.
Yes, my name is Jody H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. This struck me really strongly today, the whole italics part where it says, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. I realized a year ago I had a relationship with my higher power, but I still couldn't control my eating, even with that higher power in my life. So I tried all the things that I thought were greater than me, the diet, the advice from other people, just have enough willpower. They never mentioned seeking a power. There are powers greater than myself all over the place, if I truly look at my life carefully. But this power, capitalized in the italics, this power is a power that is far greater than ourselves. But he or she, some people say, needs to have us listen to them. And when I started listening to my higher power and sitting still with my higher power and listening to him, I found a peace that was beyond understanding. And that peace led me to someone who led me to vision. And when and in the early days of vision, when I was having a hard time adjusting to the ways of the big book, on the phone, I would roll my eyes when my sponsor would suggest something. And in reality, I would feel in my spirit a confirmation that I needed to listen to her, that I needed, it was my higher power that gave me the strength to listen to people in this program and gain that power greater than myself. And in such a way that I was able to walk on a daily basis abstinent and feeling great in my body again. What an awesome experience this past year has been. And I want to encourage anybody who's at the beginning of their journey, hang in there. It does get better, and it really does. And there's freedom in this life with a power greater than ourselves. And I will pass.
Thank you very much, Jody H. Mary G., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mary G. from Arizona. And just thank you for all the shares so far. I love this paragraph, not for maybe the same reasons as many of you, but I had a higher power. I knew who... I thought I knew who God was. Unfortunately, when I'm in the food, I am like a potter who tries to make God in my image. And so it's what Mary wants. You know, what Mary wants to do with the food is she wants to be normal. She wants God to recreate me into being a normal eater. And that just, I spent 17 years struggling, believing in a higher power, trusting that, you know, he could help me, but not understanding at all that I was still trying to run the show, that it was still me that was in the driver's seat. And it was only when I surrendered the food that I started to gain some clarity and I started to see the reality in my life. However, it still took several years until I had an experience, a personal crisis, where I had to go to another 12-step program that works on relationships, and I all of a sudden realized, oh, so this is really what surrender is. Surrender is not just about letting go of the food. You know, that's okay, but the real surrender is turning my will over to my higher power. And that was truly a most difficult thing because I had been in charge and in control all of my life, and I loved it. I mean, I like being in charge and in control. I think I'm always right. And, it was a lot of learning, a lot of letting go. And, you know, many years later, now in recovery and recovered, I am so grateful that, you know, today I hold my life with open hands. I try not to clutch anything to me. Unless it's the will of God, I trust that if it is his will, it will happen. And if it doesn't, it's okay. He will take it away or do whatever he needs to do with it. I just try to live in the daily circumstances of my life. But, you know, the only way I could do that is with this power. But until I could get connected to him, I couldn't have that power. He was there. God was always there. It was me who, you know, just wasn't willing.
We lost you, Mary. Mary G? Press star 1 to unmute. Okay, I think we lost Mary G. Liz T., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Liz. Thank you.
Thanks for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. Oh, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power, capital P, greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how are we to find that power? And, you know, the lack of power, step one, you know, admitting I'm powerless over compulsive overeating and my life is unmanageable. You know, that was a hard, that was a crushing blow to admit that. I spent, oh gosh, probably my first 2-3 years in OA just wrestling with that, trying to, you know, live out that obsession that we learn about in More About Alcoholism, that somehow someday I'll become a normal eater again. And by studying the big book and being a part of this group and having sponsors grounded in the big book recovery, and just by my own experimentation and falling on my face again and again and relapse, being beat down by the food, I can see that that lack of power is my dilemma. And I need God every single day on a spiritual basis in order to live, because my life is so unmanageable without direction and guidance from a higher power. And another thing from this paragraph I see is, you know, we realize as we go a little further in this chapter, page 55 tells us that deep down within us, every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God, and it's been obscured by calamity, pomp, worship of other things, including the food for me and my character defects. And so how we find this power, capital P, is by continuing the work of the steps 3 through 12, working them in order, working them entirely abstinent, making our amends, living in 10, 11, and 12. It's a daily reprieve that sense of powerlessness. I can be tapped into the power source. I eventually run out of steam. I run out of self-will, and I'm flat on my face again, exhausted. And it's God, it's with my higher power I get that energy again. And my disease is down deep within me too. It's not out in the parking lot doing push-ups. It's within me, the irritability, restlessness, discontent, if I'm not tapped into my power. And that's just my disease, my ism, that God-shaped hole that I tried to fill with other things. And today I know where my power source is, and it's up to me to tap into that. And I'm just grateful to be here today and grateful that there is a solution and that we study the solution, and there's recovered people on this line to help those of us that struggled over and over and over to get tapped into that solution. With that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz T. Okay, what a wonderful set of shares today. For those who joined us late, we are reflecting on the first full paragraph on page 45 in the big book that begins lack of power. And I'm ready to take some more names of people who haven't shared in the last 2 days on this line. Who would like to share?
Mary G. from Illinois.
Okay.
Alice A.
Alice
Carrie W.
A.
Carrie W.
Carrie W.
Donna D.
I'm sorry, can you say your name again? It was muffled.
Donna D.
I'm having trouble with your first name. What is it?
Donna.
Donna? Donna?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Donna B. Who else?
Leah R.
Maria R. Perhaps one more?
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Okay, we may have more time after this, but let's see how it goes. Mary G., please get us started.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois, compulsive overeater. And, so lack of power, that is our dilemma. So I have this allergy, right, that once I ingest the substance, you know, it makes me want more. And then I have the mental twist. Something's wrong in my brain that's not right, that causes me to think about, like, taking that item that causes the allergy. So pretty much, you know, for lack of better words, I'm screwed. There's nothing I can do because my crazy brain tells me to eat the thing that I can't eat, that I'm not supposed to eat. So, you know, it's quite logical. You know, what can I do? I need something bigger than me, something outside of myself, some sort of power greater than me that could help me with this dilemma. So for me, my higher power is God, and I have to connect with my higher power every single day. I've been in and out of this program for many years, and I started to attend Big Book meetings about a year ago. And I'm so grateful that I'm learning the program straight from the Big Book. It's just opened my eyes to how important this connection with my higher power is. The food was my solution before, and today my solution is my higher power, and I must connect with my higher power every single morning and form this relationship, because that's the only way that my crazy brain is going to stop me from telling me to take the bite. So, that's all I got, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. Alice A., please share with us. Press star 1, Alice, to unmute.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. This is Alice A. from Alabama. I hope I don't bounce around too much here, but I've had several thoughts that connect with this paragraph. But, you know, I listen a lot, but I don't always share a lot. Sometimes I don't think, well, maybe I don't have enough to say. But I heard someone on a special edition say that we really need to share on these meetings. And when I think about it, that's what brought me to Vision. Listening to so many shares that resonated with me and hearing the recovery in people's voices. And yesterday, we read a little about the human resources as marshaled by the will were not sufficient. And I got to thinking, I was always taught that I can do anything I want if I put my mind to it. And then I thought, well, that's my problem right there. My mind always sends me to the food. And then today, food was not my problem, or is not my problem. It's the solution to my problem. When I am irritated, restless, discontent, that's what I do, is go to the food. So my true problem is a lack of power. And until I found that power, I'll be doomed. And knowing that there is a power gives me hope in this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alice A. Carrie W., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carrie W. From Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic.
And I'm so happy we're reading this paragraph today because it's interesting. I was talking just this morning about power, and I was actually telling my sponsor that, you know, as I was growing up when I was younger, my dad was out of the picture, and my mother really didn't want children. So it got to a point where I had to raise my sister. And, you know, that was very difficult for me because I was very young. And, you know, how am I going to raise her the right way? How am I going to pay the rent, you know, and how would you not get the lights shut off? Because my mother just wasn't capable of being present. So that being said, I think I really needed the power to survive at that point because I was lost. I mean, I had to take on such a strong position at such a strong age. So I had to have that power. But the problem is that I'm not a normal person. Many people can survive having power, but I have a problem where I have a disease of the body and a mental obsession. And like, you know, I've heard it being said, like someone will put something in the mouth, the light will go on. Ooh, that's great and yummy, and the light will go off. Well, for me, I'll put something yummy in my mouth, the light goes on, but you know what? It doesn't go off for 4 or 5 hours later. I have a disease, a mental obsession. So I am someone who cannot hold power. And holding that power has gotten me into severe anorexia, being 72 pounds, into bulimia, throwing up 13 hours a day. I mean, it's been proven that I have no power. So I'm so grateful for today that I realize I am a kind of person who cannot hold power. And my solution is connecting to my higher power, which I call God. And I'm so blessed and grateful that there's a solution out here through this book and that you know, I don't have to control everything. And what a relief that is. You know, I am just letting go and letting God take over. And it just feels so wonderful. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry W. Donna B., please share with us.
Hi, it's Brona D. from Ireland, and hopefully you can hear me okay.
I can. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all doing service on the line today. And yeah, really appreciating all the sharing on this paragraph. Lack of power was my dilemma and I didn't know it. I thought my dilemma was my mental health. I thought it was because I was studying and I was in college. I thought it was when I moved into work. I thought it was just the job and I just needed the food to get me through. And if everything else was sorted out, I'd be okay. And if everybody else would just sort themselves out, I'd be fine. But lack of power was my dilemma. I had to get to bankruptcy and all those levels to really hold my hands up and surrender, like coming over the edge of the trenches and say, I have no power here. I need some help. And I remember the situation where I was driving. I was with my family in Europe and we were in a rented car driving between France and Spain, and my mom and my sister were in the front seats trying to navigate and find the way. And it became clear to me that my opinion wasn't needed or useful. I had to close my mind and just let them get on with the navigation. And that's it. That's what happens in my dilemma, you know, when I have lack of power. My opinion, I think I know, being right, doing all those things, you know, it's of no use. And I still need to set that aside, what I think I know. And a bit like yesterday, I was driving somewhere new and I saw the place that I was going up ahead and I stopped looking at the sat nav and I followed where I thought I should be going. And that's the problem, you know, when I think I know where I should be going. And for me today, you know, my higher power directs me and I need to follow like a sat nav, you know, what's next? What's the next right thing? Where would you have me be? And my higher power is just so loving and says, eyes on me, Brona. Because I'm like a magpie. I see the bright and the shiny things and I follow them, whether it was used to be the food, thankfully it's removed for today. And, you know, it can be other things. So, yeah, eyes on me, Brona, and eyes on you, God. And I'll pass. Thanks. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Brona D. B, thank you very much for your share. Maria R., please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute, Maria.
Can I be heard?
Now you can, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your service. Lack of power was always my dilemma. First time I'm sharing on this meeting. I'm very, very grateful for the shares. It's really helpful. Lack of power. That's the scariest thing for me. I lived my life. The food was my power. Gave me power. Was my God. Was my everything. And I have to put down the food. I feel very helpless and hopeless and powerless. And that is really scaring me. It is a new way of living, and it is a design for living that works if I work it. Thankfully, I keep coming back here, and I keep listening to all of you. Listen to my higher power, even though I mean, surrendering to what is, it's been the hardest deal for me. But I know I come here, and I get the help, to surrender, get the hope. And yeah, for today, my power, my abstinence comes from a higher power. The power doesn't have to be, I don't have to be powered by my addictions today. I could be powered by my recovery. I'm powered in different ways. That's initially scary and different. It's like a new language I'm learning here. And I'm only doing it with the power that's greater than me and with all of you. Thank you, Itess.
Thank you very much, Maria R. Kelly H., please share with us.
Good morning from North Carolina. I'm Kelly H. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this little paragraph is so powerful. I just was writing down some of my observations. First of all, I may know my God and have had a pre-existing relationship with God, but if I don't yield to his power, I cannot be transformed. I may have a spiritual set of routines, going to a midweek study on a holy book that is dear to me. And I may have a routine where I dress up and go wear lipstick and sit in a pew each week. But if I don't yield to God's power every day, I will be led by my character defaults. I may have friends and gather in my community of faith. But if I don't yield to God's power, I will, and I am, isolated in my disease. If I work this program and I fall back on my own understanding in all my ways, but I do not yield to God's power, I stop asking the critical question. And I stop growing in his grace. I will be cracked and unable to hold his power for today and days to come. My daily recovery can start with a question and not with the answers I received in previous days. So I can say, good morning, God. But where and how were I or am I to find your power? I can start that each day, and I've been struggling to know how to start my morning upon awakening. And I have a lot of different formulaic paths I can follow there, but I really like the end question here. I can start my morning by saying, good morning, Lord, good morning, God, my higher power. But where and how am I to find your power? And I just want to camp on that. I'm grateful for the brevity or the brief, you know, ness of this paragraph, because it really just makes me stop and think about it. Where can I find his power? With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly H. We have time for one or two more shares. Who would like to share?
Kathleen W., Illinois.
Okay, Kathleen W. One more.
Alexis F., New Jersey.
Alexis F. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Kathleen W.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, I'm Kathleen W. I'm from Illinois. My heart is so full after listening today to all the shares and to the lead, the words of the lead speaker, the reader today. So powerful, these words. It's just unimaginable to me. I've been abstinent since September 24th, and you know what has happened with me? I'm having a new spiritual experience as well as physical, and an experience with food. And you know what? It has been scary to me. It's been very scary letting go of my power, letting go of what I want, and having to listen to somebody else, because for 10 years in this program, I've experienced some of the power of God. But I'll tell you what, God was stirring and stirring and stirring in me before I came into vision, and God carried my heart to vision. And I've kind of just been bottoming out, even though I've been abstinent, I have been bottoming out and realizing this dilemma. I have a lack of power, and now that I have found some, by the grace of God, some abstinence, some peace, you know, I say, how am I going to keep it? How am I ever going to keep this? And it's, you know, there's my dilemma. I can't keep this. And I love the mention about, you know, this question, and where are we to find this power? How and why and where? And, you know, this is the question I've been asking, and God has been stirring and stirring and stirring, calling me deeper and deeper into a deeper and more loving relationship with him, her, with that power. And I'm just so grateful that God is doing that. I just want to completely come to the bottom of myself, where I realize my complete and utter lack of power, so that I can, you know, the answer to that question, where and how, will occur to me more and more. And I'm just so grateful for the what God is doing in my life. It's been very disturbing, but now I see it's just God calling me deeper. And I'm so grateful, and it's, you know, I just have to let go, clutching on to, you know, the food, my way of doing things, my ambitions, my hopes and plans, putting all of these things into God's hands. And the only thing I clutch on to is the hope of the promises in this book.
That's
that I'll find that healing and that freedom. Thank you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen W. Alexis, we have only 1 minute left. Please share.
Okay, thank you. My daughter has been on the phone with a friend for the past 2 days for hours discussing a washing machine that broke. And I felt like she was giving her too much time. She's a grown woman, my daughter, and so is her friend. My daughter gave up time on her exercise bike to talk with her. She gave up time from school on her bike to talk with her. And I felt like I had to control the situation. She's a grown woman, so it's not like she's little. I can't distract her or send her to her room or do anything to control it. So I had to remove myself from the situation, come into another room, not listen so I don't give her advice or control the situation. I can't control her, and I can't control her friend. I had to turn it over to God. I had to pray a battle. I had to pray for a friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alexis F. Okay, sorry we didn't have more time to hear more. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.P., would you please read for you on 164?
A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.